Hey, it's Chaz and AJ in the morning.
Hey, what's going on?
Thanks for listening to the podcast. Here are some of the best parts from today's show.
Listen to it, please. Thank you.
And please subscribe, share, like, comment, all that stuff.
All of it, please.
Thank you. An attorney filed a lawsuit against Eversource yesterday.
Cool.
It's attorney Jazz Lewicki. Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Is this this lawsuit, is this representing all of us or three of your clients? How does that work?
Well, initially it starts representing the three clients, but we have asked for class action certification, which means that if it's granted, it'll include all of the people affected by the actions of the Eversource. So everybody will be part of it. They can opt out if they want, but usually most people won't. So they'll all be included.
What do we do to be included? Do we have to contact you or
sign a list?
Yeah, right. Well, I want to know how I get my check.
Exactly right. I want a good one.
Put me in line. You get a check.
What'll happen is it'll trickle through the court proceedings, which are kind of meager now because of coronavirus. But what'll happen is once we get certification, people will get notices. They'll probably be through the news media, internet, and the newspapers and whatever, and they'll be able to join. However, they can, you know, we are signing up some people, especially the businesses and large, companies
businesses
that have lost a lot of money. So yeah. The businesses, yeah. I mean, look, obviously there's going to be a couple of different classes. You've got the homeowners, and then you've got the business classes. Of
Do
course,
you have any businesses signed up yet?
I have no class.
Oh, yeah, of course. Sure. One of them is a acupuncturist, a doctor in who lost power in West Hartford. I think he just got it back yesterday or the day before, so he couldn't see his clients, and that's a business.
That's dangerous. He can't see him. Like, poke right in the eye.
Exactly.
Yeah. Oh!
Exactly. So, yes, we have businesses, and then you're probably also going to have a subgroup.
Hello?
The power company got to him.
Whoops. They silenced him.
Hello? Did we call him or did he call us?
We called him. It was a landline.
Not so much.
They cut the cord.
Cut the cable.
This tree all of a sudden fell on that cable.
Right on the phone, yeah.
That was attorney Jazz Lewicki. He's suing Eversource, and it sounds like it could be a class action.
Right.
It sounds like we could get some money back.
I'm with this guy.
Senator Logan, who's a friend of the show, also recommended that we file a lawsuit. Con Edison has done this for New York and New Jersey.
Yeah.
Offered one level of money refunded to homeowners and another level of money given back to businesses.
Cut the check!
It's a tremendous amount of money.
Yes, thank you. Take it.
Damn, we lost him?
I'm telling you, something happened. You notice as he's talking about this, all of a sudden, conveniently, his phone goes out. Something happened. I smell trickery.
Damn it!
Could be. Well, it's a landline, but it it runs off the internet, so obviously.
Yeah, be careful, sir. Be careful. Keep an eye around you. Know your surroundings and exits.
Okay, so the lawsuit is filed.
Yeah.
It'll be on our behalf. If this thing moves forward at some point, we'll all be able to get on the bandwagon, right? We don't have to do anything now. Don't you think that, it's a power company? Power companies are known to lose power during storms. Wouldn't they be able to make a case that this was a horrific storm?
Not really. I don't believe so. Because, number one, we've sued them in the past. I've sued them in the past and won. Their argument.
Wait, where were we for that? Yeah. When did you sue them?
Now you're going to tell us now?
Well, we sued them in 2011. I sued him personally when we had when I lost power at my home, and I won a judgment against them.
Anything good?
Well, in small claims, I think I got $750 against them because,
good for you.
I'll take that.
For stuff I lost. And the other one was back in 2011 where we got some settlements for them. We represented a bunch of business people, and we got settlements. But the thing is, when you make the kind of argument, they're always going to say, oh, yeah, it's, you know, act of nature. But, you know, it goes well, well beyond that. They knew that this storm was coming up the coast. They had more than enough time to plan on it. They could have trimmed the, you know, they could have kept the trees trimmed. They could have done better job on the infrastructure. And just before that, they gouged, they tried gouging all the people with the rate increase, which they did under the subterfuge of, oh, the state told us we've got to keep Millstone Nuclear Power Plant alive, so yeah, we have to increase everybody's bill, which is a very specious argument. You know?
Really?
Yeah.
All right, I'm going to play the defense attorney for the power company.
Okay.
All right, we tried to clean up the trees, but we have to get homeowners to sign these waivers, and people in Connecticut just love their trees. We can't cut all the trees.
I don't believe that because, number one, a lot of the trees are along state highways, towns. You don't need all of them. You don't need permission from these sources. You have a right-of-way to maintain the utilities on everybody's property, even the towns, and give them 10 feet to do work
so
on people's property.
Let me ask you this. Your lawsuit's not going to have the price increase in there, right, because it's irrelevant.
Oh, yeah. No. We're hitting them on two levels. Number one, we're saying that they violated CUTPA, which is Connecticut Unfair Trade Practices Act, by promulgating these, you know, the rate increases. So we've got them there, and we also have them for not, you know, taking care of the outages. They had let me just say very briefly, it's three levels. Number one, they didn't prepare. Number two, they didn't have enough people to take care of it while it was happening. And number three, they didn't even do anything afterwards. People were without power for, you know, up to 6-7 days, especially on the southern coast, the Fairfield area.
All right. We have attorney Jess Lewicki on. He's suing EverSource, and I don't want to keep cutting you off, but if
go ahead.
No, because I only have a little bit of time here.
Yes. My time is short.
Okay, so if I'm EverSource, right?
Yeah.
The legislature put a lot of stuff in with renewable energies. They forced the company to buy half of its electricity from Millstone.
Right.
And then it creates this fake Pura that shields them from bad decisions. Pura approves the rate increase. This is all from the government. Right, so EverSource asked for a rate increase. Pura says yes. They put it forward. You're not going to win on that one, are you?
I don't see why not. I mean, just because the government allows something. To give you an example, we do pharmaceuticals, okay? The FDA approves Zantac. Now Zantac is causing cancer, okay?
It is?
So the drug companies are going to say, well, the government said it's okay. We can sell it to people, so you can't hold us liable for all the cancers people are getting. That's not going to fly. That just is not going to fly. So hiding behind the government isn't going to help in this instance.
Okay, hiding behind the government saying they gave me permission, okay, mm-hmm. I agree with you on that. But the government forcing you to use these energy sources that are expensive.
Well, see, I don't know about, I'm not a political person, so I don't know what happened. All I know is that EverSource is, you know, basically in bed with the government, and who knows what goes on.
I agree with you on that. I think it's, you know, they all work together. They all have lunch together. They all figure out what they're going to do together. And now the government part of it saying, hey, man, what's the deal with EverSource? We're going to investigate.
Here's the deal.
Exactly.
Attorney Jess Lewicki on, he's suing EverSource. I think you have something with the loss, right? The food, the loss of business, and that type of stuff.
The acupuncturist.
Con Edison, are you going to be able to use them? They're in New York, New Jersey. They're giving refunds to homeowners and businesses. Are you going to be able to use them as an example?
See, they're doing it. I would say that.
No, but I applaud them for doing what they're doing. Look, we're licensed in New York, too, and I handle a lot of cases in New York. New York laws are a lot stricter, a lot a lot more benign for users and users. Connecticut kind of is more lackadaisical, and I think it's excellent that they're doing something in New York, at least. In Connecticut, you know, we brought suit because we're going to have to force them to do it. They're not of their, you know, they're not going to be kind enough to give people rebates or say, oh, contact your insurance.
Yeah.
Let your insurance pay for everything. Right. People have deductibles. Most people don't have insurance. The people that have been hit, you know, are just, you know, they're devastated. I mean, this is not something to play around with, especially if you have, you know, if you have health concerns, COVID. I mean, my God, it couldn't come at a worse time.
Wow, interesting.
Perfect storm.
What would you give yourself in chances of winning money for all of us from Eversource?
Well, let me say I've been very successful in my litigations. I have never lost a case.
Yeah.
That's not because...
Wait, you've never lost a case?
Look at that. See, he's good.
Wait,
you're good, you.
I've never lost a trial. I don't take losing cases, you know, so I've been very successful. I mean, it's just... You know, I calculate what my chances are, and I've been very lucky, and I've been skillful. So,
wow.
See, like a ninja.
I expect to get something. It'll probably settle. It may go to arbitration, which will save a lot of time, but I think we're going to come out on top.
Holy cow. Well, see? We're going to stay in touch with you.
Confidence.
We're going to link up to your stuff at Jazz, you know, your attorney thingy.
Right.
At our
your
radio
name
station
can't
thingy.
Yes. Right.
We're going to connect your thingy to our thingy, see?
Right. Two thingies.
All right. Attorney Jazz Lewicki, thanks for doing what you're doing.
Yeah, man.
Jimmy Kopic, Live Nation Concert God on the show. Good morning, brother. Do you have a 2021 concert wish list? And who's on it?
Well, you know, I that's a good question. Off the top of my head, I think I'd like to bring Dead & Company into Connecticut again. It's been a few years, and you know, I love Grateful Dead music, and I love their shows, and I think I would love to bring Dead & Company back into Connecticut, and I guess if you allowed me to, I would love to see Bruce Springsteen and E Street Band come back into Connecticut also.
I had Bruce on my list. I was going to ask you about it. If you didn't mention it, will he be touring in 2021?
You know, I don't know at this point. The artists that have been planning to tour in 2020 are moving into 2021. Kiss will finally make their announcement this afternoon. I don't want to jump the fact that it will be in August next year. You'll hear it this afternoon from them officially. But they are the last 2020 amphitheater show that will move into 2021. So everybody's just waiting to see where everybody settles for 2021. And then we'll start seeing artists that had not planned to tour in 2020 move into 2021. And I would think that Bruce Springsteen and E Street Band would tour. I have no secret knowledge of it, but as a person who's the same age as Bruce, and as a person who loves live concerts of Bruce Springsteen as much as Bruce himself loves them, I gotta believe that he's itching to get back out on the road.
Who else would you put on your list, your wish list for 2021 concerts?
I'd love to see the Eagles come back into Connecticut in 2021. You and I both had the pleasure of seeing them about a month before everything shut down in Madison Square Garden.
Man, that was close.
Yeah, we made it by about a month, didn't
Skin
we?
Your teeth, yes. Yeah. That was a tour.
And I know you and I have talked about it a lot. It was a very special show. Having to, you know, having a full 46-piece orchestra and a choir behind them was quite spectacular. And I'd love to see that come back into Connecticut in 2021 also. You know, my only concern is what's going on indoors versus outdoors in 2021. I think outdoors were pretty safe, but indoors, I don't know yet what's going on indoors.
Right.
The outdoor show in the winter.
Hopefully we have a vaccine by then and people feel better and the thing is just basically gone.
Yes, that'd be nice.
Any chance of getting Billy Joel out of Madison Square Garden and into Connecticut?
Well, it matters when he starts his run at Madison Square Garden again, because as long as he's playing Madison Square Garden, he is not going to play Connecticut. I've had a lot of discussions regarding that with them, and they feel a lot of us nutmeggers in Connecticut travel down to the garden. And
we do.
Yes, we do.
Yeah, we did.
I've done it five times already.
Yeah.
So we do that. So, you know, he wants to keep growing that record of, I think, 100 and some on consecutive shows or something like that.
Sold
and, you know, but if the garden doesn't open up, my thought is one of two things, and I'm very close to the Billy Joel camp, and is to either go into Xfinity Outdoors or go into Rentschler Field Outdoors.
Oh, man.
You know, Rentschler Field to me is a little gem sitting up in East Hartford, Connecticut that nobody uses. We haven't used it. In fact, I think Bruce might have been. Bruce of the Police were the last shows that we had there, and that was 15 years ago.
I saw Bruce there. You had him there two nights.
Yes. We had Bruce, the Police, and the Stones.
I saw the Stones there.
Nice.
Yep. Yep. And it's a small stadium, and stadium shows have gotten much bigger. They play football and baseball stadiums, which do 50 to 60,000 people. Rentschler's only 30,000 people. So the problem is that we have a little difficulty convincing an artist that could go and play a 50,000-seat venue in Buffalo to play a secondary market like Hartford and only do 30,000 people.
Say please.
So, that's tough. Fenway Park stands on its own as a special venue, so big artists like to play Fenway Park. But if they don't, if they want to make more money, they head down to Foxborough and play Foxborough. So I think that I might try to grease the old wheels over at Rentschler and see if maybe we could do something there.
Jimmy Koplik, Live Nation Concert God on. We're talking about 2021 concert wish list bands. Rentschler Field, just take us through that real quick. So that was built to possibly get the Patriots to come here, right?
No, actually, that wasn't. That was built just for UConn. The concept of building Rentschler Field, a stadium for the Patriots, was in downtown Hartford.
Wow.
I was in discussions about building what's now Xfinity, but was the Meadows back then. I was going to nest it right up against the stadium.
Holy crap.
And so I was involved with Governor Rowland. At that time, I wasn't involved with Robert Kraft. He was dealing with Robert Kraft with the Patriots. But on the side, I was talking to Governor Rowland about, okay, you get that stadium. I'll build a stage, seats, and a lawn. I'll use your parking. So I don't need a lot of space. I need
That's
only
great.
About 15 to 18 acres is all I need. But we'll use the parking. We won't, every time the Patriots play, we just won't have a concert that day. It was simple as that. And then I actually said to him, if it's a 1 o'clock game, we could still have a concert if it's a 1 o'clock football game.
Right.
So that was going to be in downtown Hartford. But
getting the tailgaters out of there would have been fun.
Just rush them out.
Yeah.
Yep. Yeah, you know what? I hadn't thought about that.
Get the dogs outside. Run.
Yeah. We got about 3,000 drunk people
right.
with hot grills and charcoal we need to move.
Tear gas. Done.
Boy, that was a disappointment when we thought we were going to get the Patriots and didn't. So what happened to Rentschler Field? You started having concerts there. Was it because you built the Meadows?
No, not really. I'd like to say that, but anything that's played up at Xfinity or the Meadows is really not an artist that would have chosen to play Rentschler Field. The stadium business changed, and 30,000 seats is just too small. An artist, you know, like I have two stadium shows. I had them. Actually, they were going to be this week. One of them might have been today. I was going to have Motley Crue and Def Leppard, Poison and Joan Jett up in Buffalo at New Era Field where the Bills play today, I think it was. And then on Saturday, I was having Billy Joel up there. But those artists want 50,000-seat stadiums. They don't want 30,000-seat stadiums. So they, you know, they can go and make the same amount of money indoors or in the wintertime, so they don't really need a 30,000-seat stadium. 30,000-seat stadiums, it's expensive. You got to build a stage because it's a big stage, and it's very expensive. So even though it's 30,000 seats sounds like a lot, you don't make a whole lot of money once you put all the ushers and the ticket takers and the security and the building of the stage and the taking down of the stage, and all those costs are really, really quite high.
One more question, then we'll take a break and play your favorite game where people call up the concerts they went to.
Couldn't wait.
And Jimmy will tell us the backstory or something about the artist.
Yes.
We know you wait for this all week long.
I'm like a nightmare, but yeah.
The amphitheater in Bridgeport, is that on course to open in 2021? Do you have a date for that opening?
Yes, I actually I was there on Tuesday. I was Monday. Tuesday I was there. I was there on Tuesday, and it was it's coming along great. My office space is pretty well done, which I'm very happy about.
Cool. Excellent.
Not to talk about only myself. But
your office space is backstage near this party area for the bands, right?
Yes. Yes. We have a It's going to be the greatest backstage in Connecticut. There's no doubt about it. It's going to be a lot of fun backstage. We're going to have a place to cook s'mores and a pit and a swimming pool. And we're going to have a lot of fun backstage. Backstage will be a lot of fun. But I went and we saw all the seats are now put in, which is great. Cup holders for everybody. It's one of my main things. I hate when I sit at Madison Square Garden and I hit my cup and it spills. And I go, shoot, I have to go buy another drink or I just don't get another drink. So one of the things I really insisted on is everybody has cup holders at their seats. And it's coming along great. The stage is built. The roof is on the stage.
Pass by.
Oh, I want to go by and see it.
Yeah.
Well, you know what? Tell me when, and I'll give you a personal tour. But
really?
Feel free to come down.
I'm going to take you up on that.
Oh, really?
Okay.
Let's go to Joe in Torrington. Hey, Joe.
Hey, how's it going?
Hello. Howard?
Groton Salt Base, 89 or 90, Van Halen.
Well, Joe, you know, I don't know how old you are, Joe, but it was not 89 or 90. I believe it was 93 when we had Van Halen out there. What's that?
It was a long time ago. I can't remember.
Oh, you're right. For me, last year's a long time ago. I understand exactly where you're coming from.
Just got home, actually, yes.
I think it was either 93 or 94 when we had it there. It was one of those moments that I had to really think quick on my feet because I don't know if you remember the weather situation that day.
But I remember.
It was rotten in Groton?
In Groton, Connecticut. It was very stormy. Rained very – I don't remember if it actually rained. We just had the threat of rain. And the manager, may he now rest in peace – but he's a tough guy, comes up to me and he says to me, you know, whether we take the stage or not, I guess I could say it now, you owe me $250,000. And I said, why? If you don't play, I got to give everybody their money back. And it was actually on July 7th, 1993. And ironically, Vince Neil was the opening act. I don't know if you remember that.
I was there for that show.
His solo tour?
Yes.
And he was
tour.
Great.
Yeah. Yeah.
He was great.
So I go, well, that's crazy. He takes the contract out, and it says on the contract that Van Halen gets paid rain or shine.
Oops.
And I go, oh, I screwed that up. I should have crossed that part out.
Take your light around. What contract? Oh, look, it's on fire.
So I'm sitting, what do I do, what I do? And at that point, I was pretty friendly with Eddie, who truly is one of the nice guys in the business, always friendly, always willing to meet people. Had dinner with him a few times in the past. And we used to talk about David a lot, who was nutty. And I didn't know what to do. And I sat down with Eddie. We were just having dinner, and he said, my manager's not letting me take the stage. I really want to play. And I looked at him. I go, he doesn't understand weather. This is heat lightning that's going. And there's lightning going across the sky. And he goes, heat lightning? I go, yeah, heat lightning goes across the sky. Heat lightning doesn't go down and hit people. Heat lightning goes across the sky. Of course, I was lying through my teeth.
Oh, yeah, of course,
get him on the stage.
Right.
I couldn't afford to lose $250,000 and then give everybody their money back if Van Halen didn't take the stage. So Eddie goes, wow, that's pretty cool. I never knew that. And of course, he gets the guys together, and Sammy was the lead singer, and he goes to Sammy, and Sammy's tough. Sammy will go on stage in lightning. He doesn't care.
Yeah. Look at his hairdo.
So they get on stage, and they start playing, and I'm saying to myself, thankfully they're playing, and I'm praying nobody gets hit by lightning. Oh, my God. That's all I need to do.
Can you imagine?
Right.
Well, I figured if Eddie got hit and died, he couldn't tell anybody it was my fault.
Oh, that's true.
What a soul that would be, huh?
So
it was pouring rain. That was one of the greatest shows ever.
It did end up raining. And they played the set, and the manager comes up to me, and he throws me up against the wall and says, "You mother blah blah." He says, if anybody in my band gets killed, I'm having you arrested for murder."
Good luck with that one. It's more like manslaughter. Come on.
I'm going to murder you, then I'm going to have you arrested.
Mash, hey, I'm a man.
For murder. Mash.
But note, he did not take his band off the stage. And he could have. So he let them play. So I was going to say he was an accomplice.
Yeah, accessory.
The whole thing planned.
Accessory. Yeah.
But thankfully, the show happened, and Eddie and none of the band members got hit by lightning that day. And that heat lightning story was a whole bunch of bull. There's no such thing as heat lightning going across the sky.
Wait, you lied
about that?
It
really does come down.
Oh. Joe, thank you for that call, man. Huh.
Yep.
Appreciate it.
That's a great story.
I was at that show, and so that was July 7th. Young Chaz was born July 12th.
Oh, wow.
So that was really his very first concert.
Very nice.
This one's interesting. Kevin in Milford.
Hello.
Hey, we're going back to 1982 with this one. Go ahead.
Yeah. 1982, my very first concert. Aldo Nova, Joan Jett, and Hall & Oates.
Wow, Aldo Nova.
Aldo who?
Aldo Nova.
Aldo Nova, yes. Aldo Nova. That was his name.
Yep.
Well, I actually do have a memory of that show, which is pretty amazing, because I don't know if you remember, but this is just when Joan Jett broke big.
Yeah, that's why I went.
Right, and that's why most of the crowd went. And it really, really, really made the headliner really upset over the fact that, you know, Aldo Nova opened the show, as we know. And then Joan Jett played in the middle, and Joan Jett came out and played a full set and did her big hit during the set, and then afterwards, a lot of people left.
Whoops.
Yeah, I remember that. I stayed till most of the show, but a lot of people left after Joan Jett. I remember that.
Yeah, if you go there for Joan Jett, you probably don't want to see Hall & Oates.
No.
Now you would, but back then there was definitely a divider between
a disconnect.
Hard rock, pop rock.
Uh-huh.
Hard rockers didn't feel like they can go to a show like that and not be embarrassed. Right, Jimmy?
Yeah. And you're right. And musically, you're right. It did not quite fit, although her big hit was a big hit like a lot of Hall & Oates hits at the time. So it did sort of make a little sense as far as the selling of tickets, but it didn't make sense as far as listening as being a fan. But I just remember Daryl Hall just being such a grouchy guy backstage and I remember sitting down with his manager at that point and saying, well, he's making a lot more money than he normally would have made because Joan Jett is selling a ton of tickets.
Right.
Yeah, see?
So it's really not a bad thing, it's really a good thing. But being the artist and not being the guy who is the promoter or the manager, it didn't matter to him.
Yeah,
he
cared about the seats
fact
full.
That his...
Say it isn't so.
Hey, thank you, Kevin. See, we would have never brought that show up.
Nope.
No, by the way, it was 1982. I know he said it was 1983. It was February
24th, 1982. Wow. So Daryl Hall... I've watched his show. He does seem tough, right?
Yeah.
So he was always.
I don't take anything away from any artist that's tough.
No.
You know, you're it's sort of like a boss. If you run a show, you got to be tough. There are times you have to be the boss.
Right.
And you know, with all due respect to John Oates, Daryl's the boss.
Yeah.
I can't picture him being tough. The guy going doo 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 doo
doo doo doo doo. I'm tough. Doo 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 doo. Let's go to Artie in Westbrook.
So Jimmy, I think it was around Kiss's Animalize tour, or maybe Asylum tour. Paul Stanley was driving through New Haven. Went through Chapel Street and got T-boned in New Haven.
Ooh.
All right, I'm going to let you go because your phone's making a lot of noise.
Like Detroit,
but,
City.
Jimmy, do you remember that? Kiss playing and Paul Stanley getting into a car accident in New Haven.
Thankfully, I don't, because they would have blamed it on me.
John in Newington. I don't know if this was a Jimmy show. Go ahead, John.
I went to a concert, I believe it was 1978. There was a number of bands, but there were two main headliners, and one of the headliners did not perform. I want to know why they didn't. What was the reason they didn't? Who? What was the name of the band, and why didn't they perform?
Hold on,
that's a riddle.
That's too much of a quiz.
Yeah, really.
Okay,
yeah.
All right.
That Total Recall?
Hold on. Let's do it this way. Where was it?
JFK Stadium in Bridgeport.
Jimmy, did you ever do a show there?
No, I never did.
Okay. That's what I figured.
Right.
I went to JFK for one show. I helped Horizon Sound set up for Kenny Rogers.
Oh, cool.
And I went back just to see, you know, we set up during the day, and I went back just to see it. So now I can say I saw Kenny Rogers.
Did you have free chicken?
I'll give you a guess on why the band didn't perform. I would guess they didn't get paid.
Ah, see?
Would be my guess.
That's
because
just me.
Whoever did that show never remained a promoter. He never did another show, so my guess is that he ran out of money.
John, tell us a little bit about what you're talking about there.
Okay, well, I was very young. I think I was 14. And they had Jay Giles, Rick Derringer, a couple other low-name bands. The headliner was Blue Oyster Cult.
Wow.
And then after Blue Oyster Cult, the concert ended. Rainbow was supposed to come on next.
Oh.
And they never did.
Huh.
Good show.
Yeah, that's
a great show. We were all looking forward to Rainbow.
Do you remember?
They didn't perform.
Do you remember how much the show cost? What the ticket was?
I think like $10.50.
Oh wow!
Wow,
$10.50.
Can you imagine playing on that many bands for $10.50?
Yeah, yeah.
You know it's funny because Jay Giles. I had Jay Giles on July 23rd of 1978 with Tom Petty. Ironically enough, as the opening act, Tom Petty and the Heartbreakers.
Wow.
So it might have been right around that show. And there was no Connecticut Jay Giles show that I could see in my record. So I think your memory is correct. It probably was, because usually we always put Jay Giles in Springfield and in New Haven at the Coliseum. Probably didn't get a Coliseum show because of the Bridgeport show. But my guess is that the promoter ran out of money.
This could be a good call. Ron and Waterbury.
How you doing, Jim? This is Ron Pepperale from the Palace Theater.
Hey, how you doing? Great family.
Not bad at all.
These guys are the owner of the Palace Theater, by the way, guys.
Oh, cool.
They're the family that owned the Palace Theater when we did all our great shows there.
Wow.
Cornucopia Productions.
You got it.
What a
great
place.
Times.
Yes.
Pack the place. Lines around the corner.
Way back when Johnny Winters, before drug rehab, they had the asylum that they went in. When he came out, he did more drugs coming from wherever he was coming from, got on stage and forgot all his songs.
Oops.
He ended up throwing bottles at him, and his brother came out and played the whole set. Do you remember that?
Well, I remember what you're saying. I do remember it a little differently, though. What I remember about that show was, you're right, it was Johnny Winter's show. He was all screwed up, no question about it. Played mostly instrumentals, because he couldn't remember his words. It was really terrible.
Yeah.
I went backstage because it was almost riotous. People were almost rioting at that point because nothing was being sung. It was just doing instrumentals. And Edgar came to the show and walked across the back of the stage, and everybody started thinking Edgar was going to play. So I go backstage to try to convince Edgar to play, to try to fix this mess that's going on. And then I don't remember, is Dom your grandfather? I don't remember. Dominic,
no,
who owned the theater.
I was the youngest of the boys. I'll be 60, so I was the youngest of the boys.
Wow. Okay, so Dom comes up to me and had this hot Italian temper and starts yelling at me like I was the reason that Johnny Winter was so messed up. And so I go and I try to convince Edgar to get on stage to make up for what Johnny was doing. And all of a sudden, Dom drops the fire curtain, which was really a fire wall is what it really was at the Palace Theater. And everybody had started to throw bottles before that. So then they were bouncing off the firewall when people were throwing bottles. I couldn't convince Edgar to go on because Edgar was scared stiff to go on at that point because of all the bottle throwing. So it really was the audience's fault that Edgar never went on, but I remember that very, very well. Oh my God, that was a scary night.
He turned white.
or how about when Kiss played and they weren't supposed to use pyro, and they did, and he burnt his face?
Yes, that was he burnt his face when he blew his blew it out of his mouth. That was bad too.
What a great night.
We are going to start next week with that one. We got to end right now. Ron, you know, thank you and your family for the memories.
You could
write a book. Let me put you on hold. We'll get your number. I'm sure you got some great stories as well. Jimmy, thank you so much for coming on. And we missed your birthday.
Yeah.
So happy birthday to
you, my
brother. Hope you had
a
nice
birthday. Thank you very much, guys. Appreciate it.
All right. We will talk to you next week. How about that Bluefish tournament?
How about that Bluefish tournament?
You want to win $25,000?
Doesn't everybody?
Let's find out how to do it.
Yeah.
Rich, how do I pronounce your last name?
Brenji.
Brenji.
You know, now that you say it, it looks obvious.
See?
Brenji.
Yeah, we're just checking, make sure.
Second place winner of the Bluefish tournament in 2019 last year. When you pulled the fish out, did you think you won?
I thought I won. Yeah, I thought I was like in first. I was actually in first place, I think, till like 3 or 4 hours ago in the tournament.
Wow.
Oh, damn it.
Everybody else was.
Damn it.
Damn it.
Yeah, that's what I said. Damn it.
Damn it.
All right, tell me how it works. So you're out there, you're fishing, you pull one out, you think, boy, I think this is a good one. You go to a weigh station?
Yep, go to the weigh station, weigh them in, they tag it and send you on your way.
And why do you do that? Why don't you just wait until the end?
I wanted to get them in so I could find out where I was standing, and it was near the end of the day anyway. It's time for us to come back in.
Yeah. Otherwise, we'll go back out and find a heavier one.
Okay. I think I would just stay out there to the very last minute because you lost time.
Yeah, what
right?
if your boat breaks down?
Your line was out of the water when the biggest one bit. Was the person who won first place anywhere near where you were?
I think he was fishing out a little bit further than where I was.
Okay.
Yeah.
Phil?
Well, there's incentive to bring the heaviest fish into multiple weigh stations. So if you think you've got a winning fish... Yeah. Whoever has the heaviest fish at the end, because there's multiple stations, those fish get $100. You might not win the 25,000 grand prize.
$100.
Right. So if you have like three really heavy fish and those happen to be the heaviest one at each of those individual weigh stations, that's $300 you
nice.
Got.
I'll take that.
So if you have three heavy fish, it's better to go to three different weigh stations?
If you think the one that you already brought in is still the heaviest, absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah, but you can only win one prize. I had four.
No, but wait. Do you see what I'm saying?
Top 20. Right. Yep.
If you have three
cheating.
Heavy fish, you go to three different weigh stations to win that weigh station.
Right.
Yeah, makes
right?
sense.
Uh-huh.
So you win $300 and potentially $25,000 if one of them is the heaviest at the end. You just lose a lot of time not having your line in the water, right?
Yeah.
So it's a calculated risk.
You need a dinghy, mm-hmm. some guy to run it like a fish runner.
How much did the fish weigh?
Almost 16 pounds.
Woo! That's a lot of fish.
Wow.
Yeah. Nice.
The winner was 22.
Dang.
That's a monster.
Yeah, it'll last you a long time.
What do you use for Laura? Cheeseburger?
What?
Nothing.
22 pounder. He had a cheeseburger on the line.
Big Mac. Here you go.
Rich Brenji won second place last year. Go ahead.
I used a diamond jig to get them.
Oh, see?
Diamond what?
No bait?
No bait diamond jig.
The hell is that?
Interesting choice.
Yeah, it's a lot of work, too, because it's not like you just drop your line and leave it.
No, it's a lot of work. You drop it down, you crank it up, and you drop it right back down. You got to keep it moving through the water.
As fast as possible.
That's
they
not
like
why
to,
I'm there.
They like to chase it and catch it. So it looks like a fish leaving the bottom of the ocean. When you start to reel up, once it hits the bottom, your line slacks, and then you crank and you start reeling as quickly as you can. That's a lot of work there.
So it's a stupid fish, basically.
There's no time to drink beer, Rich.
No, you're busy the whole time.
I don't drink beer. When I'm fishing, I concentrate on fishing. I don't drink beer.
You got to get one of those helmets.
Wait, you don't drink beer, period?
Wait, fishing.
I don't drink beer. No, oh. I'm fishing. I'm fishing. I got
no, but when you're not fishing, are you drinking beer?
Nope, I don't drink.
Martini?
Well, that's why you're not drinking beer.
Oh, okay, see?
He's got to get something to occupy himself.
Yeah,
I'm not drinking beer when I'm fishing.
No,
okay, are you drinking beer when you're not fishing? No, I don't drink.
No,
okay.
I'm smoking joints.
that's why I go fishing, because I don't drink beer.
Good for you.
Hey, need some with him.
Yep. It's way better than drinking.
Yeah, it's true.
Rich Brenji, second place winner of the Bluefish Tournament in last year, 2019. 99.1 PLR Spectre Eye Care Greatest Bluefish Tournament on Earth happening the 29th through the 30th this month. It's an opportunity to win $25,000. Here's the guarantee that you're going to get away from all this crap.
Yes.
It's coronavirus and the powder. And you just get out there and you just, it's good family time,
it
good
is.
Time with the friends. And you
right.
just get away from it.
Put a mask on the fish, you're good.
Are you signed up for this year?
Yes, I am.
Going to use the same deal there?
Same deal.
No and beer?
Hopefully
yep.
this year I'm going to win.
How do you?
This year I'm going to win.
All right.
Man,
confidence.
You came very, what was the second place prize?
Say that again?
What was the second place prize? So you won second place. What do you get for that?
$7,500.
That's still good.
Yes, great. I'll take
I'll
it.
I'll take that all day.
Right.
Wow.
That's
yeah.
Not nothing. That's not nothing to cry about.
Damn,
no.
I wouldn't cry
day,
at all.
For a day of fishing?
Exactly.
Right.
Hey, you're not going to blow it on beer. Are you
How many? Who did yeah. you have on your boat? Did you have a boat? Or?
I got a boat, yep. I got a 22-foot Key West. I have my sons with me.
How old are they?
24 and 14.
And they're fishing as well, or they're just watching
yep.
dad? Yeah.
No, they're fishing as well. Yep. They're entered. We actually figured whoever got the biggest fish, we would split the prize. So we're all entered into the contest. So whoever got we'd have a three-way split on the prize.
Right. So you split the $7,500, or you're doing that this year?
I split the $7,500 with them guys.
Right.
That's
mm-hmm.
nice.
Yeah, if he wins a 25 grand, he knocks somebody overboard.
Yeah. I'm coming in by myself.
Exactly.
Yeah, right.
What two sons?
Wow. Well, good for you, man. I feel like a 22-pound fish would be able to pull you in the boat.
That's good eating.
Yep, that was good eating. I don't know, because they keep the fish, so you don't get to eat them.
Oh, really? That sucks.
They
well, you, well, they gave you 25 grand, though. You good?
Oh.
I'll buy my own seafood dinner
for 25 grand.
Yeah,
that is something. What do they do? Do they throw them back in?
No. Took it and they
Phil
have,
saying
we
no.
Actually, we went to. I weighed my fishing at River's End, and the winner was weighed in at River's End over in Ace Old Saybrook. And the guy showed us when we went back there on Sunday to weigh in another fish, and he says, you guys aren't going to win, and he showed us that monster. And I think the thing was almost 4 feet long. It was huge.
The fish got weighed, huh?
Four feet.
The winner. Yeah, I think it was like 43 inches, 44 inches, something like that.
Wow, the John Holmes a fish.
I haven't seen a bluefish like that since I was a little kid.
This fish was a big fish.
Phil, why didn't Rich get his fish back?
I imagine they had to do some kind of an autopsy because they check a lot for cheating. So
right.
like if you shoved a bunch of like sand in the right. gullet of the fish,
they
or
find
whatever.
A license plate and stuff like that in the Gulf. Yeah,
is it called an autopsy if it's a fish?
Yeah, it's fish topsy.
Yeah, I don't know.
Fish
Actually,
topsy.
They call it filleting.
But you can cut
let's
it
call
open.
It an inspection. I don't know.
Autopsy.
Yeah, fish I think topsy. They do an autopsy on the fish to make sure you weren't a cheater.
Right. Yeah, we expect foul play in this one.
Yeah, but you could cut it open and then still, all right, I don't know.
Put another
Seems
fish
like
aside.
You could cut open a cow and still eat it.
You could.
Yeah.
Yeah. Frowned upon, though.
Well, congratulations to you, man.
Yeah. That's well, good luck this
that's
year.
A good, even second place is great, $7,500.
Yeah. I'll take that.
$25,000 first place grand prize for the heaviest bluefish. You can go to the radio station website and sign up. And are there any secrets, anything you tell your kids? Here, do this.
Said, don't F up.
Get a line in the water, because if you don't have a line in the water, you're not going to catch fish and you're not going to win.
See, it seems so easy.
It seems it's normal, but you know what?
Easy.
If AJ were out and I were out fishing, I'd have to tell him.
I caught a seagull.
This was the Jazz and AJ podcast. Thanks for getting through the whole damn thing. Subscribe now and please rate and review us. Unless you have terrible things to say, then please don't. Also, share this podcast with friends. Jazz and AJ in the Morning happens weekdays from 5:30 a.m. to 10 a.m. out of New Haven, Connecticut on the mighty 99.1 PLR.